Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Showcast, a series of candid conversations from the world of film brought to you by The Film Verdict and hosted by yours truly, Matt McCucci. And today, we'll be speaking about Director's Factory, a program aimed at fostering emerging talent on the international stage that enables four pairs of directors to co-write and co-direct a short film presented as part of a special presentation within the Director's Fortnight section of the Cannes Film Festival. Now, this year's Director's Factory was the first to take place in the Philippines, and each of the shorts were shot in the country's historic city of Dapitan, with a talent from the Philippines paired with another either from Singapore, Cambodia, India, or Malaysia. The resulting presentation was a diverse compilation of shorts, and on this episode of The Showcast, we'll be speaking with each pair directly from Cannes about their work and experience of being part of this program. So fire up an Audiotini and listen to the audio waves as they fly through the air. The interviews will be presented here to coincide with the order in which they were screened at Director's Fortnight. So first up, we've got Cold Cuts, which revolves around an encounter between a young woman auditioning for a talent show and a mysterious stranger. Joining us are its directors Don Eblahan from the Philippines and Siu Tan from Singapore. Hello, guys. Welcome to The Showcast.
Hi.
Hello.
Thank you for having us.
Well, it's great to have you on to talk about your short film, Cold Cuts. But to get us started, I just wanted to ask you a simple question. What was it like being part of this exciting project?
It was nice. I mean, I really love working with my partner and sort of getting to know each other's cinematic styles and creating something together.
Yeah, for me, coming as a foreign director to the Philippines, to Dapitan, it was super fun and collaborative and really a kind of new way of working that opened my eyes.
Yes, an eye-opening experience then. And so tell us a little bit about Cold Cut, your short film, the story of this film and the message that you wanted to communicate with it.
Sure. Cold Cut is about this aspiring dancer who auditions in a talent show and mysteriously bumps into this butcher who takes her into these bizarre and surreal places.
Yeah, and we wanted to explore kind of a performance and kind of spaces of competition and performance in young people. And along with that, kind of the violence.
The idea of violence within performance, the idea about violence within the self and just violence in general in different places.
And the element of dance, of course, is particularly strong in this film.
Well, dancing was really one of the things that really anchored this film together when we were writing. It's supposed to lead us into the structure of the film of how we originally wrote it. But as me and Siu discovered our talents who are local of Dapitan City, the main actor, Chevy, has, you know, we figured out that she has this really unique way of dancing, which helped us sort of adapt the structure of the film to her very unorthodox way of dancing.
Mm-hmm. And actually, we sort of changed the structure from the script because the final dance that you see used to be right at the beginning. But we sort of changed the structure so that it's sort of like we see snippets of her dancing on the beach and her fighting with herself. And then we finally see her dance, her own dance that she's going to dance at the audition right at the end.
And how do you feel this film represents both of your filmmaking personalities?
I do think it represents well both of our styles. You know, me and Siu, we both explore ideas of youth in film, but also the idea of performance and exploring the arts in different ways through our characters is also something we're interested in.
Yeah, and also both of us work a lot with non-actors. So in our way of working with non-actors, it becomes more of a collaboration and very organic way. So we are very open to how they can take the script and bring themselves into it.
Mm-hmm. Bring their personalities, their personal inclinations, their techniques, and sort of let it guide the script and the process.
And that word collaboration, so much of Director's Factory revolves around it. So it's just appropriate that it should come up in our conversation. We talked about dance, but I feel like music is also an important aspect of this film. Can you tell me about the process of selecting the right music to set the tone and groove for Cold Cut?
Yeah, well, we were thinking of hip-hop.
When we first started dance, we both agreed that kind of the genre would be hip-hop. Mm-hmm. And so the music that we chose and the music we're exploring were all in this world.
Yeah, like something that sort of contrasts, you know, like a lot of the soft dancing that you see in the film, a lot of like the more like sweet and flowing, you know, dancing is contrasted by the idea of, you know, the or sharpness and aggression that usually hip hop genre brings to the ears. So, yeah.
And what I like about bringing hip hop into the picture is that the visuals and the setting where the film is shot, they almost defy the visuals that generally accompany the hip hop culture, let's say. Wouldn't you agree?
Uh-huh. Yeah, the setting, the abandoned house, actually, we explored a few locations, one of which was actually an old hotel. It was really cool. But we lost that location and we found this one, which was the backstory is that it's a house that was built for a wedding and it was just abandoned. And so we went there and we thought it's right by the ocean and it was very beautiful. It had beautiful light. It had beautiful old textures on the wall, a bit of graffiti, broken glass, broken windows. And so we sort of adapted our script to this place that we felt had a lot of texture.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And fits with the initial setting that we thought of was kind of like a house under construction. That was our first thought.
Like a skeleton of a location. Yes, yeah. But the thing that we ended up now sort of still reflects the same textures and the same ruggedness.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, a lot of textures and stimulating visual palette in Cold Cut for sure. Well, guys, thanks for joining us for this quick chat about your Director's Factory experience and your film. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so
much.
Thank
you.
Next up is the second short from the presentation of this year's edition of Director's Factory. Zillig is a short film in which a stubborn and feisty woman dying from cancer returns to her hometown to meet with an old close acquaintance and organize her own cremation. Joining us to talk about it are its directors Arvin Belarmino from the Philippines and Yoki from Cambodia. Hello guys, welcome to the showcast.
Hello.
Hello.
It's lovely to have you on. And why don't we start off by sharing your thoughts on being part of Director's Factory this year. What was the experience like for you?
First of all, we feel it's very amazing to get to work together for the very first time, not just with my co-partner, Arvin, but also with other director. It's a very unique experience to actually explore your voice. To explore your voice as a filmmaker and to be able to creating a cinema language in order to tell the story that happening in the Philippines and also in Asia, especially in the contemporary time like right now.
Yeah, for me, it's really a very it's very challenging and at the same time, it's a fun experience. Challenging, why? Because you know, there's a lot of process that we need to do because Yoki is from Cambodia and from the Philippines. A lot of back and forth with the pre-production when we wrote the script, those kind of things. But everything was light when we started shooting, you know, and also working with the cast and crew on the set. It was all smooth, you know. Also with Yoki, we made sure that Yoki is not going to be a stranger there, you know, even though she's in the Philippines. We made sure that she will feel home as well in the Philippines. So, yeah, it was a really fun and a very collaborative experience.
Ah, that's lovely to hear. And now then, why don't you guys tell us about Zillig then, your short film? What is the story of your film? What is the message that you wanted to communicate with it?
So Zillig means the sea, dirt, or the sea form in English. And this film, we want to... The social theme is... death and love, which is like a very universal language. And in this film, we want to explore the grief and to answer the question like, what you're going to do and how do you spend your life on your last remaining day? As if you have been living, hiding for all your life, as the main character called Mamang, that she is have been away from home, from her hometown, living away from her lover. And once she found out that she get the cancer, she make the return home and to unite it with her ex-lover. And then the story passed on to the second character who is called Sabina. And then the grief has been transferred to Sabina because she know that this is the last time that they going to meet and going to be together. Here in the Philippines, we do have like a different culture, but there are also some similarity in terms of how we see the death, what are the beliefs that we carry in life as a human being, the emotion that we put in daily life, and the definition of life is short, is real, that we have portrayed in the story of Mamang and Sabina. Yeah.
So, yeah, just to add and to echo as well with Yoki, it's really about our perspective on how we see love, even though you have this situation about death, the coming of a death situation, you still have the positivity in life, which is, you know, loving someone. And I think that's a simple message that we want to relay to the audiences. Though, even though you're in a bad situation or you're in your worst situation, love is the positive side that you can see.
And what I liked about Silig is that although it does have some really cool local nuances and specific cultural references, it does tackle themes that resonate on a universal level, like grief, death, and love. And I appreciated the language with which these themes are explored, especially grief and death, because it's a way that is really able to communicate with a lot of people. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Actually, somehow we want to make a film that, you know, we are actually conscious about making an art house film, but somehow you are correct to make it more accessible to the audiences as well, that we are tackling a universal theme, which is, yes, grief, death, and love. But yeah, that's why it's really interesting with this kind of collaboration that we did with Yoki and me to somehow relay the message, even though there's a lot of weird situations that's happening, them laying down in a coffin, you know, and also talking about death in a weird way, and also the love that we have between these two old women, you know, it's somehow you're in this very unique situation, but yes, you're correct. We are talking about this universal theme that everyone can relate. Yeah.
To add on that as well, the cinema language that we somehow design and to approach in this short film is how one is to make sure that we really capture the spirit of the Philippines on and the story of the character there. And second, by the language, by the dialogue that we design is to have, like, you know, a dark humor, a kind of style where we can see every time we talk about something that's serious and dark, but at the backdrop of it is a beautiful place, like it's the sea, you know, it's the amusing park. So that is somehow is the approach and the language that we want to tell, that they're always like a dark and a bright side of life that always meet in between. And third, it's about like the lighting that we design, is that if you really look at the film, it's, we do really pay attention to the lighting, that we don't want it to be overproduced, the lighting design, but instead keeping as natural as it looks, because it's the snapshot, it's the portrait of the older people who finding each other way to be together again. It's a portrait of life. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. A portrait of life. Yes. And yeah, I appreciated the humor because, again, when you talk about death and grief, this is usually represented in ways much more somber and dark. So Silig is kind of different in that sense too.
Yes, yes, yeah. And it's also, it's a part of like Asian way of saying thing, that because we have been through the worst. So every time we face something that is really bad, we make a joke about it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a very Asian way. Like, you know, and if we really love something, we say the opposite way. We always do the opposite way. Like if you see the child is beautiful, we would say, oh, this child look ugly. So ugly. You know, like there's always an opposite way of saying things in Asian content.
We love the contrast of
life. Yeah, we love the contrast of life.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very interesting. Well, guys, thanks for joining us and best of luck over there in Cannes.
Yeah, thank you.
The next short in the program is Nightbirds, in which a mystical bird is sent by a bird council to help a woman break free from her husband, who wastes her couple's money on cockfighting. So joining us are its directors, Maria Estela Paizo from the Philippines and Ashok Vish from India. Well, hello, guys. Welcome to the showcast.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
So why don't we start off by sharing some of the experience of being part of this year's Directors Factory. What was it like for you?
I mean, super exciting. just a huge opportunity, because I personally had heard about the Factory program affiliated with the Cannes Film Festival. I knew about Dominique Walensky. So I met her a couple of years ago when I was pitching for another project at a co-production market in Goa. So when she found out about my project and you know, when she saw my other work, she invited me to be a part of it. So it was just really exciting.
Yeah, I think I'm also very excited to be here because I just directed my first short in 2021. So I'm still kind of like new to everything and just like getting myself familiarized with all the film festivals. So I never thought I'd be in Cannes. So we're here.
Yeah, same here. Actually, so.
I mean, yeah.
It's surreal.
And what about the collaboration between the two of you? Did you guys get along?
Yeah, I think, you know, we've been talking about it a lot. You know, it's been like a 7-month process, really.
Yeah.
Starting with co-writing. I mean, really sort of ideating and coming up with sort of a story in terms of a film to make. So it was a gradual process, especially with the writing. We found out that we had similar interests around mythology. So we kind of stuck to that and wanted to contextualize that. So that's how sort of the story sort of originated from.
And I think it's kind of interesting because we found out that we had a lot of similar interests, but at the same time, we're two very different people.
Yeah.
So, I mean, personality-wise, Ashok is very sociable, outgoing, while I'm an editor in post-production. So I tend to like keep to myself and just be shy all the time. So that was like something we had to meet in the middle, especially in production. But we sort of like I said earlier, filled in the blanks and divided and conquered the things we needed to do. So yeah, it was very interesting.
So let's talk about Nightbirds, the story of the film, and delve into those commonalities that you referred to.
We were both interested in looking at an Indian myth and a myth from the Philippines, but we realized that it was going to be too long and too cumbersome. So we stuck to the Filipino myth, you know, especially since the program is, you know, focused on the Philippines. And then we just kind of looked at mythology as sort of this internal roadmap to experience. And in this specific case, it was about female empowerment, you know, because the film's protagonist is a middle-aged woman who's sort of confined in this marriage where the husband completely sort of neglects her and doesn't take her into account. So that's basically what the film is about.
Yeah, I think just to give a little more context, because obviously our jump-off point in like creating the script was our interest in mythology. So originally our script had like two myths as Ashok had mentioned, but we went with the Filipino one, and the Filipino one is based on a childhood story my grandmother used to tell me, but we didn't really take that literally. We tried of like integrating it into another narrative, which is what the short is right now. But yeah, it's essentially that, I guess. Yeah.
And what's this myth that you are referring to?
Okay. My grandmother used to tell me that before there were humans in the world, there was this soul, the just one bamboo shoot just sticking out. And the gods like sent this mythical bird, which is called the Tigmamanukan. And the bird would like peck on the bamboo and out would come like flightless birds. And eventually these flightless birds argued with each other, whatever. And they started, I guess, like fighting with each other. So some of them locked some of the flightless birds back to the bamboo shoots. But eventually the Tigmamanukan came back and helped those who were in need or who were like locked inside the bamboo shoots again. And that's also the reason why humans don't have wings, because of that myth. At least that's what my grandma told me.
Gotcha. So let's talk about the style of this film and specifically its mixed media side. I'm particularly intrigued by this very ambitious blending of animation and live action. Can you tell us about the thought process behind this stylistic choice and some of the work that actually went into that?
Yeah, so from the beginning, we knew that we were going to include mixed media within the film. Estella's filmography involves a lot of mixed media work. I, in some ways, also come from a visual art background. So we definitely were going to use mixed media in terms of animation, you know, animating sort of that one character's head. All of that sort of came later on in the process,
yeah,
within the post-production process. So it was a little challenging, especially with the animation, because we didn't have that much time. If we had a bit more time in post-production, I think we could have really perfected it. But that was the nature of the program, and that's kind of how we ended up doing all of that. So our film is definitely a little bit more ambitious in the kind of things that we wanted to take on.
I guess, yeah, as Ashok mentioned, the mixed media parts were like already in the script before, so we already planned for that, we were prepared for it. But like we mentioned, the program is in a way a sort of like a continuous process of problem solving. So when you get to watch what you shot, you would feel like you will need some of this and some more of this. And so we eventually made decisions to like increase the amount of mixed media and eventually like sometimes replace one of the actor's head with like a bird head. And we went through like several processes within the limited time we had. We went through like a 2D model, but eventually shifted to a 3D model of the bird just to make it look smoother. But yeah, it was mostly to serve the storyline of the film in the end. So yeah.
Right. And I don't know whether this was set up and I'm being ribbed or whatever, but as we're talking about Nightbird, someone started whistling over there in the background, which is strangely appropriate. But of course, you guys are speaking to us from Cannes. Lots of noise and commotion happening there. But we appreciate you joining us to talk about your film. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for your question.
And thanks for having us.
The final film of this year's edition of Director's Factory is Walai Balai, which offers a portrait of a mother and daughter evacuated during wartime to a safe neighborhood they call their home. Joining us for our final conversation on this very special episode of the Showcast are its directors Eve Baswell from the Philippines and Gogu Rajendran from Malaysia. Hello guys, welcome to the Showcast.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
So let's start off with a simple question. What has the experience of being part of Director's Factory this year been like for you?
Like for me, because I'm from Malaysia and the film is about Philippine and we shot it in Philippines. So everything is strange to me in the beginning. But now I feel really, really close to Dapitan and also the people I work with, and especially Eve. So to me, like this process of factory is about becoming a family or something strange that's turning into something that is close. Yeah.
For me, well, I was really excited to be part of this because this is like my first legit short film. But I did a feature film before. I did one. But aside from college short films, this is my first legit short film. So I'm really looking forward to making that film. And then eventually, the entire program was really about us pushing our limits. Because as you know, our film was the last one to finish. We were the last one to finish the script. Because it took us a long time to really get into what we really wanted to see on screen and what we really wanted to say. And we actually went through 6 full scripts. But from realizing on the 6th draft that something is missing. So what we did was we wrote it again from scratch. And it was a nightmare for the crew, because we already prepped for the 6th draft, but when we were writing the 7th, the draft, we were considering the reusing some of the locations, props, and everything, so that we don't have to really do everything differently. And good thing that we did that decision, because when we finished the last draft, we were really happy with it, and we were really looking forward to making it. And the producers also felt it. And they told us that it took us a long time to get there, but they were waiting for it, actually. Like, they were happy that we were able to get the final draft because they were waiting for this.
The collision.
The collision of our film language. Yeah. So it was really, really interesting.
Right. And it fits in well with the rest of the works of the program. So I see what you mean there. So now let's talk about your film and what you hope to communicate with it. Walai Balai. Am I pronouncing it right?
Yes. Yes. It's Walai Balai. Yeah. So maybe I can start. So as you know, the film is set in the northern island of the Philippines, which is Mindanao. Island of the Philippines. And in Mindanao, and I'm from there. Somehow it was my hometown which my family escaped from, because as you know, Mindanao has been in a war for so long. I was actually born during the war, you know, so the political background would be like, for example, me growing up would be I would have class cancellations because there are bomb threats. And then since my family was living right beside inside a military camp, as kids, we would hear rifles going off, cannons going off. So I was a kid. I didn't know that it was actually a real war, like an actual conflict. So this film is actually kind of my way of processing that, you know, and through the eyes of our mothers. Because we chose that perspective because during that time, it was our mother, my mother, who was intellectually awake, you know, so she was able to really process what was going on. So that's how we kind of navigate the film. Like me and Gogo would talk about our mothers because his mother also had a similar, not so similar background, but kind of the same situation, like escaping, leaving home and raising your kid. And so it was really interesting to see their past and their hometown through their eyes. That's why our characters were a mother and a daughter. We can actually tell you a bit more about the political background of the film where it was shot. So maybe Gogo can talk about that because he did a lot of research.
So the story is based on this mother and daughter from Marawi who temporarily find a home in Dapitan. So back in Marawi, where they were originally from, there is this war. It happened 7 years ago in Marawi, where the extremist Muslims partnered with ISIS and took over the city. And the army has to fight them. And it was an urban warfare, so the people had to relocate and the whole city is destroyed to ruin. And when the residents want to come back, they have no homes. Everything is destroyed. So the government promised them to come back, stay in the temporary house for some time until they could repair the city. But it has been 8 years now and the people still couldn't come back. They're still somewhere in this temporary places outside Marawi. So this is a real thing that it's really like concerned us also because it's close to Eve. And also I think it's this story of being detached from home and being so long outside home. How do we process home? Like, what do we call home then? Like, because it has been so long outside home, what if the new temporary place becomes the home then? How do we see our original home then? So there was a lot of meat in this story. And we also really wanted to tell about this war because like I'm from Malaysia, which is really close to Philippines, but I don't know anything about this before doing. So only by making this short film, I really learned a lot about this. And
from the get-go, we really wanted to make a short film about the effects on war on people. We didn't want to talk about a certain war, one war. We wanted to talk about war in all parts of the world. That's why we didn't really delve into details because it would be really interesting to somehow see it like in the bigger picture instead of focusing on one. But it was a surreal experience writing this because and doing the film because eventually I don't know how you felt about it, but we really felt like I can't find the right words. But yeah, maybe I can end with we wanted to really write about something that talks about the effects of war on people.
Yeah.
And that is certainly a resonating message and a resonating universal message at that. And I'd like to also add, it's a very sensorial film, very immersive on top of that. So yeah, guys, thank you for covering a lot of ground there with your generous answers. It's been great to have you on the showcast. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Well, I hope you enjoyed this latest and very special episode of the Showcast with all of the directors of the shorts from this year's Directors Factory program from the Directors Fortnight section of the Cannes Film Festival. Stay tuned over the coming days for more excellent conversations from the world of film and check out our vast library of episodes by following us wherever you get your podcasts from and keeping an eye on filmverdictnetwork.com. Till the next time, from the Film Verdict, this is Matt Micucci signing off. See you soon.